All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online tonight. Some of these fellas up here close to me is giving me a hard time. Tonight, I would like to do something a little different. I'd like to teach for a while about some things that I really want to say. And then I would like to have a time for you all to ask me questions. I know you've got questions about me retiring and how that's going to work and whatever's going on and whatnot. And I want you to know, this is kind of like we're sitting around the table at dinner time together with family. And we're just talking about life and plans and different things. And I think you all need to be cognizant about what's going on and what will be going on, and as far as the church, as far as myself, as far as everything else. And I've always tried to be transparent in everything I've done. And so after I teach a while, I'll have time for you all to ask me questions. Just ask me good questions, though. That's the ones I can answer. Don't ask me hard questions, the ones I can't answer. So you just ask me good questions. Henry, I can hear you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer together. Father, it is good to be here. It is good to sit down with family, with brothers and sisters, with those that you've grown to love through the years, and to share our hearts together, and to just take time to appreciate each other. So, Father, we pray for those that can't be here tonight, those that are in hospitals, those that are suffering with pain, those that are in sickness, those that are with cancer and disease and injuries and facing surgeries and all the things that make this world so hard. Father, we lift them up to you. Those that are on our prayer list, our church family. Father, our heart goes out to them and we pray for them. And we pray that your will be done, but we also pray selfishly that you heal them, that you give them good days, that you pour out your mercy and grace upon them because they are your children. And they know you and you know them. So, Father, we pray for all those on our prayer list tonight, and we lift them up to you, and we pray for their highest good and for your perfect will to be done. We thank you. We thank you so much that we can come into your presence and know that actually you have been there with us all day, every day, since the day we were born again. So we give you praise and glory because of who you are, because of the mighty things that you have done. But we look forward with a steadfast hope to that which you're going to do, because we know your word is true and your promises are forever. So, Father, we come before you tonight as your children, thanking you for being an almighty God from everlasting to everlasting, an unchanging God that is always faithful. And Father, help us to become more like you and less like ourselves. As we go through this life, may you do your sanctifying work through the Word and the Spirit, that when people look at us, they don't just see us, but they see you. Thank you tonight for letting us gather together in your house, and for letting us share together in the good things that you teach us and show us and give us each and every day. Thank you again, Father, for the opportunity and the very great privilege of calling you Father and knowing that you truly are. Bless those that can't be here. Bless these that are here. And may we share together from your word and from our hearts tonight in such a way that brings glory to your name. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. I'm going to be in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter tonight. And if you remember when we were over the last, I don't know, weeks, almost months that we've been studying together, walking, how to walk with Christ through this life in his presence in the way that he would want us to. And when I came to the book of Hebrews and drawing near to God, I told you that this is something I was going to come back to later on. And I don't know if this will be my last Sunday night to teach or not. That's something Nate and I'll talk about and work that out. But I just want to share this because I pray and I hope that there are people watching online that don't know Christ, that would hear the word and have a desire in their heart to know him as their Savior. And so I'm going to be sharing tonight from the book of Hebrews, which either Paul wrote or someone else with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and see what he has to say about his brothers who were Jews and so great a salvation, and what a privilege it is. I want to think about what a privilege it is for us to be able to do what they never could do, and that is come into the very presence of God. And to realize what an amazing thing Christ has done for us when he died in our place, split the veil from top to bottom, and opened the way into the very access of God himself. And what a privilege that we have that they never had. And he's trying to get them to understand as he goes through the book of Hebrews here and shares with his fellow Jews. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And so if you remember in the book of Hebrews, he starts out in chapter 1 and he goes all the way up through chapter 10 and about verse 18. And he's talking about that Christ is better than the angels, that Christ is better than Moses, that Christ is better than Abraham, that Christ is better than anyone that's ever come before, natural or supernatural. And so he's sharing this, and he's sharing with them the new covenant, and he's sharing with them how this has all come to pass, and he's sharing with them how Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he's going through all of this, and he's sharing with them, and his ultimate goal is to bring them to the realization that what they never could have had before, they now can have in Christ Jesus. And so I pray as we look at this and sharing this, that if there's somebody watching online tonight, they can come to understand that the way has been opened for them as a sinner to come to God through Christ and have their sins forgiven and be a child of God. And so that's why I wanted to share this tonight. And we're beginning in the 19th verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And he says, therefore, and we all know that means it's taking us back to what he's already said. And we've gone over many of the things he's already said. But he is trying his best to get them to see. And you notice he says, therefore, brothers. And many people would read that and think, well, he's talking to us as believers. We're brothers in Christ. But actually who he's really talking to is the Jews that are his brothers in nationality. Because His heart's desire is that they come to Christ. And he says to them, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, your version may say boldness. Since we have confidence, our boldness. Since we have confidence, our boldness to enter the most holy place. Now let's stop right there for a minute. Because if you're a Jew and you're hearing this, it is hard for you to conceive that it would even be possible for you to go where he's talking about. Because throughout the ages, the Jews could never, ever enter the most holy place, the very presence of God himself in the Holy of Holies. They could come into the courtyard. They could come past the altar of sacrifice and the laver, and they could come into the courtyard and they could see animals slain with the shedding of blood for a sacrifice. And they could see all this, but only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and that only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And they knew that if any of them even tried, even went into the Holy of Holies, they would be consumed by the fire of Almighty God. And so for him to say to them now, you can go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of Almighty God himself, it had to be something that was very hard for them to conceive that was even possible. And so as he's saying this, as he writes the scripture, and we're seeing this, he's telling them that they can do this, that the way has been opened. Notice what he says, therefore, brothers, since we have boldness, our confidence. Now before, what did they have? They had fear and trembling. If someone said, why don't you try to go into the Holy of Holies, they would have said, oh, we can't. Be the worst thing that could happen to us. And now they're being told that they can, with confidence or boldness, enter into the most holy place. But he says, notice what he says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, how? By the blood of Jesus. And then he says, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is the veil. The veil open, the curtain open, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us now draw near to God with sincere heart and full assurance of faith. So what is he telling them here? What is he telling them here? And I ain't even got my notes out, but I'm just going to, as I usually do, fly by the seat of my pants. And my wife says I don't do a very good job of that. But let me say, this concept to them in the new covenant is amazing. It is something they can hardly grasp. That by the blood of this Messiah, this Christ, all the sacrifices, all the blood that was shed, everything that was done in the tabernacle and in the temple could not do what Jesus Christ has now done. This is something they are trying to grasp. And what I want to say tonight to the people that are watching online is, where there was no way for you to come to God and be forgiven and live in his presence, there now is. A way has been made. The door has been opened. And it has only been opened, and it could only be opened by one person. And that is the living Son of God who was 100% man and 100% God, who died in our place and shed His blood to give us a new covenant with God through His death, burial, and resurrection and the shedding of His blood. Now, anyone who is convicted of their sin, who repents of their sin and has faith to believe that the way has been opened through Jesus Christ, can come to God through Him. What a miracle that is. And we take it for granted because we have gone through that door. We have went down that way which God has led us in through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the shedding of His blood, God's wrath is satisfied and the penalty has been paid and the way is open. This is the message that the writer of Hebrews is trying to get over to the other Jews. And it is so foreign to them to accept, because this is something that would have been unheard of, that would be possible. So all through the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, he has been showing them who Christ is. And he's been showing them the new covenant, that the old has passed away, because what it could not do, Christ has now done. What could not happen under the old covenant now can happen under the new covenant, and you can come into the very presence of Almighty God. In fact, we as born-again believers, are always in the presence of Almighty God through His Spirit that lives within us. And so he uses two things here to describe what has happened. And he says, it's new and it's living. It's a new way and it's a living way. It is a new way and it is a living way. I was raised in church. I went to church every Sunday. Not because I wanted to, but because I had to. My parents made me go, thank God, every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, and usually every Wednesday night. I had been taught what the Bible said. And I had the knowledge here. In fact, I actually taught Sunday school. You see, you can read this and then teach what it says and not be saved. You can do that. I can take a textbook. I can study it. I can read what it says. And I can teach it. But it is not living. It is not alive. But the very moment that you come to Christ, repenting of your sins and in faith of His work on the cross for your salvation, suddenly everything changes. Suddenly everything changes. What you know is true becomes truth in your heart. Not only do you know it to become true, but you experience it in your life coming true. And you become alive spiritually for the first time in your life. Believe me, I remember studying the Word and being in church and teaching the Word, and it was a book. Did I believe it was true? If somebody came and asked me, "Do you believe this is true?" I would say, "Absolutely." But it hadn't changed my life. It was only at the time that God spoke to me and convicted me of my sins that I knew more than anything else in the world, I wanted to walk through that door. I wanted to know God. I wanted my sins to be forgiven. I wanted to know I was going to heaven. And the thing that bothered me most, and there was many things that should have bothered me about my life, believe me, many things, was that my sins crucified Christ on the cross. And I knew that I was guilty. Christ died for me. That was beyond my comprehension, because I knew exactly who I was. And to think that the Son of the Living God would come down from heaven, empty himself of his glory, and die in a place of a wretch like me was almost beyond my understanding. But I understood it to be true because God said so. But it was only when a preacher preached from the pulpit one night at a revival service that God put his finger on me and said, "That is you." I left that place that night wanting to be saved more than I wanted my next breath. And that's the God's truth. You say, "Well, why in the world wouldn't you?" Because like some of you that's watching online, I don't think it's anybody that's here tonight, but somebody that was watching online would think the same thing I thought. They all think you're saved. Why don't you just go on? But the truth of the matter is, I could not go on because God wouldn't let me. If you're watching online and you're in that place I was in, a church member, been baptized, sitting in a church service every Sunday, but knowing you really don't want to be there, maybe you like the people around you. Maybe you like the music or whatever. But your life's never changed. I'm telling you, your life will never change till you want to enter into his presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. Never, ever change. You cannot change your own life. Only he can. Only He can. And since we have a great high priest, a great priest over the house of Israel, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. With a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. And let me say this. You don't have to be saved in church. You can come to Christ driving down the road. You can come to Christ in a creek bed where Ed and Roy Douglas did. You can come to Christ at work where I did at CTS Corporation. You don't have to be in church to be saved, but let me tell you something. After you're saved, you'll want to be in church. There are three things that I want us to see here that salvation, true salvation really is. And they are faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. The first is faith. He said, let us, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Well, where in the world does that faith come from? It comes from God Himself. How is it that for all those years, sitting in a pulpit in church, hearing the same preacher preach the same messages, yet I never had faith until that night? You see, salvation is totally of God. It's a work of God. It's a work of God. If you're watching online and you've never had God change your life, you need to pray that God will give you the faith to believe. Believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, in the sacrifice that He made as the only way of your salvation. You cannot change your life. You cannot work yourself to heaven. You cannot get there by your bootstraps. You cannot get there any other way but by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way possible. That's what the Scripture says. So first we see faith. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And having our bodies washed with pure water. I tell you what. I got saved at work at CTS Corporation. My granddaughter, my son, my wife says, would you quit telling that story about CTS Corporation? Everybody's heard it so much. Well, I ain't gonna quit telling it. It's the best story I got. It's the way God changed my life. Why in the world would I quit telling it? When I prayed at work, with people working all around me, forklifts running up and down the aisle, announcements going over the loudspeaker, it might as well just been two people there, and that was me and the Lord. And I prayed and asked Him to forgive my wretched sin and come into my life and save me. And my brothers and sisters, everything I had known to be true became true at that very moment. And I walked out on the back dock of that plant. And I looked up into the sky. And this is what I saw and this is what I thought. God, You've changed everything. But what He'd actually changed was me. And I knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. faith. You have the faith to come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, realizing that He is the only acceptable sacrifice for your sin. Then He says in verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." If all you did was watch the news and read newspapers and listen to the commentaries, you would think there was no hope. My hope rose from the dead on the third day, ascended to the right hand of the Father, is the God of creation, the Son of the living God, God Himself. And I will live with Him throughout the ages of the ages of the ages, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. And my hope is anchored in a resurrected Christ that sits at the right hand of the Father that gave Himself for my sins. I have a living hope. A living hope because of a living way that God opened for me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's one other thing. I have faith. I have a living hope, an unswervingly hope in Christ. For He who promised is faithful. Now the next thing in verse 24. And again, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. First John says, if we say we love God, yet we do not love one another, we lie. Truth is not in us. As I leave this church as a pastor, one thing you cannot say is that I have not loved you. You may say he was an awful preacher, and you'd be more than right. You may say he was not much of a teacher, and you'd probably be right. But you cannot say he did not love us. And this man right here, Nathan Martin, I call him Nate. He calls me Jack. I guess that's because that's what our names are. You know, the highest thing I can say about him that I know to be true is that he truly loves the Lord and he truly loves you. Don't you ever, ever, ever take that for granted. He's going to fail sometimes because he's not perfect, just like me. We're going to mess up sometimes. But it won't be because we don't love you. And it won't be because we don't love the Lord. It'll be because we're not perfect yet. If a person is truly saved, those three things will be evident in their life: faith, hope, and love. And you cannot get around it. You cannot get around it. It is as real from God as your next breath. And it is all about Him and what He has done in your life. And so I say to you who are watching online, those three things are more precious than anything you'll ever own. anything you'll ever buy, any gift you'll ever get in all your life, is that you come to the point you have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection as the way for your salvation. You have a hope that cannot die because it is anchored in a risen Christ who has overcome death, hell, and the grave and given us victory in Him. And you are more than an overcomer. It is because you not only have faith and hope, but you have a love that God has given you deep within your heart for Him and for one another that are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is as real as anything that you will ever experience in all your life. Faith, hope, and love. You are anchored in faith, hope, and love by the grace of God, because He is a merciful God. Amen? Okay. That's all I'm going to say.